Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Kinder, and this is Radio Gorgeous. I'm very happy to say that with me today on the Radio Gorgeous sofa, which is in fact in a hotel bar, is a singer-songwriter and violinist who, with her brother and sisters in the cause, sold over 45 million albums worldwide. Twice nominated for a Grammy and winning a Brit Award, she was a coach on the number one ITV programme, The Voice, in Ireland. She has raised hundreds of thousands of pounds for charity, earning an MBE from the Queen in 2005 in the process. She flies the flag for Oxfam in Ireland. I'm with the fabulous Sharon Corr.
Hi. Hello, Sharon. That was a nice introduction. I feel really good about myself now.
Good. Well, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you.
We're here to talk about your new album, The Same Sun,
yeah.
which is your second solo outing since 2009.
Yeah.
There's a definite feeling that you've moved from rock and kind of folk
yeah.
rock that you're known for
yeah.
to a kind of late 60s, early 70s singer-songwriter feel. And the sound is very intimate, and it reminds me of Burt Bacharach and
yeah.
Karen Carpenter.
Yeah.
Now, is that a conscious decision?
If you feel the sort of late 60s, early 70s in it, it's only because I aspire to be as great as they were then. And it's because my favourite singer-songwriter was Joni Mitchell. Even though she was before my time, she is, to me, the greatest inspiration for women, from a thought point of view, from a sexual point of view, from an artistic point of view, and it's something that we really need to sort of bolster up nowadays in so many ways, because she was a real pioneer, and she approached subjects that were not really being talked about then, and she opened the world up to seeing women as thinking, breathing, sexual, normal, regular, every emotion type of people that we are. Because back then we were kind of pigeonholed into being emotional and soft and nurturing and blah, 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 which bores me to death, because we are so much more than that. And we're capable of so much more. So I looked to that, songwriting-wise, to write the purest, greatest song that I can write, and to not cover it up.
But I would like to ask you about the creative process.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you said about being in the Isle of Wight when that was your first solo
yeah.
outing.
Yeah.
And you said that you were nervous about it.
Yeah.
But then when you got on stage, you felt utterly yourself. And I want
yeah.
to know, how is it that you think that music can help you express that, express yourself? What's that connection?
Well, because it's so... because there are no boundaries in it. You have a thought and you put it out there, and it's not inhibited, you know. And that's the greatest thing about my job, that I get to be myself and I get to express whatever I want. It's like the ultimate therapy in the world, and I get to do it every night on stage. To be celebrated for being you is quite amazing. And it could be any negative, any positive, any weird, any frustrated, any anger, any sort of wild thought. Every human emotion is acceptable in the music industry. Everyone. The creative process is very much, for me, it's like I'm the channel through which this thing comes out. And I know that sounds very airy-fairy, and I really don't give a whatever, because it is true. Like, I don't know I'm going to write a song before I sit down to write it. I just know that it becomes the ultimate release for me. I know that, you know, like, let's say the song Raindrops on the album. I was having a really crap day that day. It was such a bad day. And the worst thing about it was I couldn't explain why I was feeling so down and so low. And at 11 o'clock at night, after I got the kids to bed, I was sitting at the piano and I wrote this song, and it literally fell out of me. And the less I tried to sculpt it, the better it became. And that's just from years of being in the industry and knowing that the more methods you put into it, the less art. And because I know the methods, now I can just let the art flow.
Do you think that somehow the music that you create pre-exists and that the songwriting is a kind of process of chipping away to reveal the form?
Yeah, it's kind of like a sculpture. It's kind of like... I wonder, it's a very, very good question. Does it pre-exist? I think the fragments of it coexist in your mind and in your heart and in your soul, because it's not just your mind involved. I think it exists throughout the world, so it's almost like you are responding to the rhythms of the earth. And that's what music is, comes from. It comes from, you know, the rhythms of the earth, the movement of the earth, and that's why we're inspired to imitate it. Yeah, I think it pre-exists, but what identifies you from everybody else is how you sculpt it and how you choose to pick stuff that you choose that nobody else would choose from naturally. They would choose different fragments and push them together. Yeah, it's quite an amazing thing. It's like I'm the vessel. And when I wrote that song, I felt as happy as I could be, having felt as low as I could be. It's kind of amazing.
Do you believe in a kind of universal consciousness?
Yes, I do. I do. I do not believe in God. I don't believe in religion. And you know, I would love to believe in the idea that there is that, but it needs to be a more positive force that, from what I'm being taught by religion, if you know what I mean. And I believe that we are very truly and very deeply connected. I feel that if we just listen and we look and we observe and we are truly in the moment, then we can really understand each other and really help each other, and that's the most important thing for me.
Do you find that music helps you connect with other people in a way that goes beyond language, that it kind of maybe expresses what you've just said about your uniqueness?
Yeah.
And at the same time, a kind of common humanity?
Yeah, I think, because I don't think we're ever expressing a truly new emotion. I think that we are re-expressing emotions felt by everybody. And it's just how we do it that connects. And I think that if you're truly in the moment of expression, then the way you write it and the way you pull the words together resonates more deeply. And I think that we're all connected by common emotions. And the great thing about art and literature and music is that when people look at it, they recognize their own emotions talking back to them through it. And that's why they want it, because it makes them feel not alone. It makes them feel understood. It makes them feel like they're not the only person in the world feeling this. And because we're doing that, therefore, we are we're totally dependent on each other. No matter how much money we think that we can gain will make us independent or make us this or that, we need each other. We need that validation from another human being. Yeah,
and I think it's what you're saying, when you're writing, you're very authentic. And I suppose that's honesty is a thing that connects with your audience.
I think that is kind of like my mantra: honesty, the truth. That's it. Because it's the only thing we can truly recognize, and it's the only thing that we can navigate. Whether the truth is awful, we still can navigate it. If we're not receiving the truth, we don't know what to do with it. There's no path. There's no direct path through lies. There's a direct path through truth, no matter how positive or negative it is. And I think, to bring it back to the album, that's what I wanted from the album, that just people realize they're hearing the truth and therefore can identify. Because if you overproduce something, you strip back the truth. It's a lie. It becomes a lie. It feels like a lie. It resonates like a lie.
It creates a barrier.
It creates a giant barrier between you and your audience. And so for me, it's like all the imperfections are what makes it perfect.
And do you find it, now that you're working as a solo artist,
yes,
do you find that you have more freedom to express yourself than you did when you were working with your family? Is it a very different dynamic?
Yeah, of course I do. I very much do, because, you know, as a family, if you work with any group of people, you have to compromise. So therefore, it can never be your true voice, because during the process you're compromising. And through pooling sort of all of our musical talent and our writing talent together, that's what made the chorus sound and made that work. But that's not what's of benefit to me right now as a solo artist. It's a lovely thing to have done that compromise and now not have to, you know?
Yeah, well, let's hear The first single off your new album, The Same Sun, and the single's called Take a Minute. Tell us about Take a Minute, Sharon.
Well, so I wrote this with my producer, Mitchell Froom, and we hadn't really expected to write together. And one day the air conditioning went down in the studio and we couldn't work because it was California and it was just blazing heat. And so we went into the cool house and I said, why don't we, try and write a song together? And he'd had this chord progression and this kind of written down for about 2 years, and he always knew it was meant for something, and he started playing it and immediately I started singing. And I was thinking about I think the greatest moments in life are often the quietest and the ones least talked about, and it can be just that moment when you're saying goodbye to your loved one, and it's so tender and so heartbreaking, and it's such a terrible pull. And yet, you know, for me, I'm also going to do something that I really love every time I leave my loved ones. Something about being not afraid to jump into that moment makes it truly worthwhile to have the moment, you know what I mean? So Take a Minute is about that moment when I'm saying goodbye, and where you get this instinct to try and make the moment last forever.
Radio Gorgeous, we are your new best friend.
That was Take a Minute from Sharon Corr's latest album, The Same Sun. Sharon, you mentioned at the beginning of that track about leaving your loved ones. You've had two children.
Yeah.
And then you started out on your solo career. Now, I think it was Cyril Connolly that said, the pram in the hall is the enemy of creativity. And clearly that's not okay.
Good Lord, it's not. So. No, I mean, no, in fact, it's made me appreciate more what I do and the chance that I get the chance to do it. And it's because I'm not just a nurturer. I'm a performer, I'm an artist, and I don't think that one thing should necessarily exclude the other. Like, there's no loss to my children if I sing on stage and I love what I do. In fact, they benefit from seeing it, and I hope that they choose for themselves to do something that they love, whatever that may be, because I think it can bring you the most happiness, or you have the chance to at the most, knowing that you've truly expressed yourself. So I kind of want to set that example, but I also just want to do it quite selfishly. And I think having my children made me really vulnerable. It made me super vulnerable. It all of a sudden just sort of jacked me to the earth, and I kind of realized what the whole world was really about. And I felt so vulnerable because I needed to protect these beautiful little miracles.
Do you find that it made you vulnerable and yet very strong at the same time? It's
exactly.
A really strange paradox.
Anything worthwhile in life is a complete paradox. Like everything, you always experience joy because you've known sorrow. You know the way just we can be in a truly sad moment and end up laughing just because you need that physical relief, because you need to change it up, because that's how you survive. It's an instinct, you know. So for me with the children, it's so beautiful. And the first album I was writing, I started writing, I was pregnant with my son, didn't know he was going to be a little boy, so the album was called Dream of You. So it's like what I dreamed him to be and didn't know, you know. So it's a great thing, but it makes you super vulnerable. And once you're not afraid of that, because I was a little afraid of being that vulnerable, it was brilliant for my songwriting, because I just opened right up and I stopped guarding myself.
You could just be completely free.
Yeah, I just let go. I just let go, and that's a kind of hard thing to do. But I let go. I was always very... when I was younger, I was very self-protective.
Do you think that made you sort of control things?
I think it made me not do things. I think it made me fearful. Yet all I needed to do was to do anything that I was afraid of in order to feel great.
And how old is your son now?
He's 8.
Lovely age.
Yeah.
And you have a daughter too.
Yeah, she's turning 7 in July.
Okay. Now, Sharon, your family would be a brilliant example of the argument that musical talent is inherited.
Yeah.
And that also the voices blend and the harmonies blend so much better when you're seeing people you're closely related to.
Yeah.
And I wondered if your children have inherited.
I don't know yet. They're both learning piano right now, and they're loving it. So they're just at the right age where they're equipped to do it. My daughter is singing beautifully. And my son is... The boys are a little bit slower than the girls. I mean, we know that, let's face it. It is a universal truth. At a certain age, they are a little bit slower, and then they catch up. But he is wonderful on piano.
And do they catch up?
Maybe never, but, you know, let's not let them in on that little secret. But, no, I mean, he is just, like, on piano, he's absolutely amazing. And right now, on voice, she's kind of... She just wants to do it all the time. She just wants to sing all the time.
When you were growing up, did you all sing together as kids? I want to know what part music played in your childhood and how that impacted on the person that you are now.
Well, my musical childhood was very much about my parents. I mean, they were... my mum was a beautiful singer. She sang like Karen Carpenter. She was a stunning singer, hence the influences. And my father was a gorgeous piano player, and they had a little band together. And they performed at weekends. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because it was a love affair with music and together. And that's why they called it that. And so, you know, for them it was just... You know, apart from the kids, it was the greatest part of their life that they got to do that. My dad had a regular job. He was an accountant, which he hated. You know, he absolutely hated it. And he did it really well, but 40 years was like a prison sentence, you know. But every weekend they would go off and sing and play together, and they got that kind of release. So it was very much determined by them and just their love of music.
They must have been so proud to see you all.
Yeah, I'm really super proud. My mother was just, you know, she constantly had the earphones on to see if, and her little radio station going to see if we're being played on the radio. And when it hit really big, she adored it. absolutely adored it. My dad's really proud.
Oh. Tell us about the title track of the album that we're going to hear now.
Yeah.
The same song.
I started writing the lyrics on a dirt road in Tanzania. I was invited out by Oxfam Ireland to bring awareness to a campaign that they were just starting up at the time. And the campaign was called Ending Poverty Starts With Women. So this campaign was very close to my heart because I saw my mother struggle with just being a mom. I saw my mother loving being a mom and doing the best job that a mother could do. But I saw her aspirations and unlived, her dreams, you know, unsaid. And I think that is really, really tough. So I have a particular affinity with women because I am a woman and I know what we struggle through and I know what my mother struggled through and what I watched her struggle through. So this was an opportunity to help other women who really struggle very badly. And we went to Tanzania, and in Tanzania the women have no voice. They have no voice in their community, yet they relied on to do 100% of the work, 100% of the childminding, 100% of everything, and yet they have no voice in anything that they do, which is just absolutely appalling. It's a cultural norm that needs changed and will take a very, very long time, but anything worth doing is worth starting. And so I met these women who live in dire poverty. They experience violence every day of their lives, just again because that's a cultural norm. The men beat the women, and it's also the men are very much suffering under the constraints of this cultural norm, but they are also expected to do it. So the whole idea of the campaign is about bringing change slowly, about enabling the women, allowing them to register the land that they're farming in their own names, giving them access to the law. But these villages are so remote, you know, people, they don't know their rights. They don't know their rights within the country. They don't know so many, many things because they can't get access to the knowledge. And the whole campaign of Oxfam is to bring that knowledge, to try and change the attitude towards violence. Just to say very, very simply that if you enable a woman, you enable your children and you enable the whole community. If you allow them a voice in what tool they can buy, or give them the money to buy the tools, or if you train them in farming, if you allow them to send their children to school, you actually make life so much better.
This is Mary Killen. I'd rather listen to Radio Gorgeous.
So while I was on this trip, I was very cognizant of not writing a charity song. The thing of getting on the charity bandwagon, and there's no other way of saying it, but I felt an awful lot of self-promotion about getting involved in charity, and I think it's quite ugly. And I knew this was profoundly affecting me, and I couldn't help but write about it. But I didn't want to write a speech. And it's just the landscape is beautiful and the colours are so strong and the sun is so deep. And the women were so, you know, their movement was like a symphony, the way that they moved. And they were all dancing one day. I played Irish fiddle for them one day in the middle of this village. And they were like, oh my God, what is that? Because it was not a rhythm they'd ever heard. And they got up and they started dancing and then they made me dance and then they were all literally laughing at me because I was just like the worst dancer ever because my body was so rigid in comparison to them. I was just like some, I don't know, I was just so Northern European about the whole thing, you know. So I wrote the song The Same Sun, and I wrote it with actually a songwriter that I work with a lot now called Don Meskell. And I explained to him what I'd been feeling, and I showed him my words, and he came to my house, and I started playing a chord progression on the piano, and we just took it from there. But the thing of the song is that we are all under the same sun, experiencing the same things, but some of us are just get better beginnings than others. Mountains fame, the failing light, an African vanilla sky, the evening sun is leaning toward the dawn. Dirt roads with no sympathy is breaking ground in front of me to question everything I've ever known. Mm-hmm.
shepherd boy who smiles at me beneath the lone acacia tree. He shades below, a distant world to dream away, but this moment that we're in today, it's all we
Yeah, from the album.
Yeah,
the title of the same name.
Yeah.
You're releasing this album in Brazil first. Why is that?
Well, there's only one of me, and I can only be in one place at a time. So I decided to stagger the release of the record so I could tour every place that I release in. So it happened to be that I had never been to Brazil, and I was invited out there to do concerts, and I was extremely excited about it. And we just thought, okay, let's launch the record in Brazil. Now I'm working on the release in the UK. So the single's out on the 23rd of June and the album's out on September 8th.
September
8th.
8th. Yeah, brilliant. And the music business has changed drastically, hasn't it, since you started out. So
yeah.
I just wondered, how have those changes affected you? Have you adapted to carry on with your success?
For me, I kind of seamlessly went into my own solo work from the core stuff, so I never left the industry, so I just kind of moved with it. It just became what it did. The big difference in the music industry is there's way less money. That's the big difference. So artists aren't getting signed because record companies don't have enough money, and they're not getting promoted, and then they can't do gigs because nobody knows they have an album out. And then, you know, free music is too readily available online, and the problem is that music is not free, because you pay musicians to be in your album, you pay studios to record it, you pay producers, and you need to earn a wage yourself. And that needs to change. That's something I believe in changing. I think that if a can of Coke is worth something, then why isn't a great song? And why would you pay for that and not pay for like a great Neil Young song or a great Adele song? Why would you do that? It makes no sense. But the fundamental requirements are still there. You still need to write a great song, and you still need to be a great singer and be really, really good at what you do.
I have to ask you about X Factor.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Do you think that things like X Factor have cheapened it in some way?
I think it's a circus. I think it's a joke. I think it's an ugly joke, because I think it's about sort of laughing at people. I don't think it's representative of the music industry at all. I think that it's really about the judges, one in particular, Simon Cowell. I think it's very much about him. I think there is an illusion going around that he can make talent or make something work, but you can't make talent. Talent is. He can't make that, he can't create it. He can maybe try and package it, but that's about all that he can do. And it's not a barometer. There are no quick fixes. And it doesn't make or break careers.
Sharon, thank you. We're going to play out with the first track on your album. I'd like to introduce it.
This is called Raindrops. I want you to know.
That was Raindrops, the first track on Sharon Corr's new album, out on September the 8th.
Yeah.
The Same Sun. Sharon, thank you so much for dropping into Radio Gorgeous.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
RadioGorgeous.com.
You know, I listened to the Perry Rosen interview. I just thought it was hysterical when you
thought,
what did you call your
back
spanner?
Yeah, he's been calling me a spanner for years. Yeah, I know. Perry, we're so ugly. It's amazing we made it in the industry. He's funny.
You can rely on Radio Gorgeous.